You're listening to the Live Free Now podcast, bringing you the news, views, tips, and tools you can use to live a free, prosperous, and healthy life. Find us online at livefreenow.show. And now your host, John Bush. Hey friends, John Bush here with Live Free Now and freedomcells.org, broadcasting to you on the Conscious Resistance Network YouTube channel, Facebook page, as well as my personal Facebook page and my personal YouTube channel. And we have a very important topic to discuss with you today, especially if you live in the state of Texas. But if you're not in Texas, we're also going to be talking a whole lot about how to effectively organize freedom cells. And today I'm going to be using my whiteboard and my trusty little pen here. So you'll have to bear with me on my handwriting, but we're gonna make it work. So thank you everyone for joining in. We'll also be taking questions and comments if I can keep up. So this will be more like a little workshop. And again, if you're in Texas, I encourage you to join those groups that I linked to. If you're not in Texas, I encourage you to join the Freedom Cell Network. So yeah, today we are going to talk about organizing freedom cells. If you're following us here on the Conscious Resistance page, maybe you've already heard of freedom cells. But if you haven't, essentially what they are groups of around 8 to 10 peeps. And the purpose of the group is to secure the sovereignty, the peace, the benefit, the thriving of the group members. Essentially, they are mutual aid groups. And mutual aid groups have existed throughout history at various times. They've been called affinity groups. They've been called But the idea that we have that's unique with the Freedom Cells is this special number 8 here. And the idea is to form up with 8 to 10 people that are of like mind and to work with one another on mutual goals, and then to encourage the creation of other groups of 8 to 12, and then to form up and those 8 to 10 groups or 8 to 12 groups of 8 to 10, 8 to 12, into what I call a middle cadre. So I'm just going to break this down. Then I'm going to talk about what we're working on here in Texas. And again, if you're in the great state of Texas, I invite you to join the groups there on the links that I posted below. So the way that it's supposed to work is you're supposed to have 8 people. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And this is what is called your inner cadre. Inner cadre. So this is your most dedicated group of people, friends, family, close associates. The inner cadre is most dedicated to one another. And then what the inner cadre does is work on common goals. We're going to talk about some of those common goals here in a second. But also what the inner cadre is encouraged to do is to encourage the creation of other groups of 8 to 10, 8 to 12. And so imagine each one of these circles actually has 10 people. We're going to use the number 10 to keep it simple. We use the number 8 because there's research that has shown that the group of a number of 8 people in a group is the most creative. There's the most synergy. Whenever you have less than 8, there's less opportunity for ideas. There's less people to execute goals. Whenever you have way more than 8, then there's less group cohesion. There's infighting. There's splintering. And sometimes when a group grows to, say, 16, it can split off into 2 subgroups. So we have the inner cadre, which is the 8 people. And now whenever you get 8, or we'll say 10 groups of 10, now you have what I like to call a middle cadre. And think of the inner cadre as being hyper-local, ideally. It doesn't have to be local. We live in a digital age. These people can be spread out across the country. And The Freedom Cell, or this small group of eight, can serve multiple different purposes. For example, we're going to be organizing a Freedom Cell that is across the country or even across the world with the purpose of encouraging people, promoting, encouraging the growth of more Freedom Cells, right? But when it comes to like the core idea, which is to protect the sovereignty of the individuals, to create human flourishing, to secure our freedom, it's most ideal when you are geographically close. So, for example, in the state of Texas, for example, there would be these intercadre groups, preferably in a neighborhood, preferably in a part of town. I'm in Austin, so maybe most of my people are there in the east part of Austin where I live. Then there's other groups of 8 to 10 in the middle cadre that are in different parts of Austin, right? And this is the middle cadre, which is somewhat regional. Simultaneously, we're encouraging the creation of groups in Dallas, Fort Worth, in San Antonio, in Houston, El Paso. And the beauty about the state of Texas and the beauty about being part of this freedom movement for quite some time is that there are people all across the state already, and they're already networked in their own communities, respectively. Derek Rose in Houston, for example, my good friend Luis Mises in Dallas, Matthew Short as well. These guys are already doing a lot of this type of stuff, just calling it something different. Okay, so once you have 8 to 10 groups of 8 to 10, now you have 100 people. And these are 100 people that are working together on common goals, on mutual aid. You get pulled over. You put out a call to the network through a Liberty Bell or whatever type of communication you have. And now some of these 100 people come render aid. There is a natural disaster. The group of 8 to 10 check on one another first. Then you go and check on those that are in your group of 100. Now, this is where it can be really exciting and where I think we can really have a lot of power to effectively assert our sovereignty. When I say assert our sovereignty, much of what you can do on a smaller scale, on a micro scale, is totally legal, is totally beneficial. It's survival, it's prepping, it's mutual aid, it's supporting one another. When we expand this out, we can effectively have strength in numbers. When we have the 1,000 people or 10,000 people, we can effectively assert our sovereignty. We can opt out of the technocratic state. We can support one another. We can form human chains around the guy that isn't paying his property tax, so on and so forth. So now let's imagine that we've encouraged the creation of 10 groups of 100, 10 middle cadres. This now is what I like to call a meta cadre. A meta cadre. And this is more of a larger region. So now we have 1,000 people. So imagine the inner cadre is your neighborhood, it's your part of town, it's your family, it's your closest friends, your closest trusted advisors. The middle cadre spreads out over a smaller geographic region, a larger geographic region, but not as big as the meta cadre. So let's say Central Texas, for example. The meta cadre is multiple regions joining force, boom, and creating a group of 1,000 that are all aligned with common goals, common principles, and are all dedicated to supporting one another. And William says, to enforce property tax collection? No, just one example. So I'm going to give some examples of what you can do, some goals that we can start forming. But whenever you have a strength in numbers type situation, and again, different people can take this concept and do different things. They're going to be left-leaning socialists, radicals, or whatever that want to do what they want with it. But the people that I associate with are more liberty-leaning. They value self-ownership. They value private property. They value free markets, right? And so one of the problems with that is that we have a coercive government that even if you pay off your home, they still collect property taxes, use it to fund the police department, use it to fund the indoctrination camps known as public education. So eventually, when the group reaches a good size, maybe 1,000 people, maybe you have 10 groups of 1,000 all across a county or all across the state, people can begin opting out in various ways and asserting their sovereignty. And when the Travis County Sheriff or the constable comes along, then people can come and help protect and create a shield and say, no, we're not going to let you harm this person. We're not going to let you take this person's property or this person's freedom away. This is also very relevant and pertinent when we see so much civil unrest taking place. We have these pandemics taking place with infrastructure not being maintained. We have these riots and all these protests taking place, and there can be continued civil unrest, especially if there's some sort of economic collapse. We already see the country is having great economic problems. If this were to lead to some sort of Great Depression scenario, you can utilize this network in order to support and help and protect one another. So let's talk. That's kind of the bigger picture stuff. Let's talk about what kind of goals the individual group can set. And again, if you're just joining us, this is all relevant to anyone that lives in any geographic area. I'm going to be talking about how you can organize freedom cells in your area. But I also want to encourage you, if you are in the state of Texas, to follow the links that we've kept below. There is a Telegram encrypted chat where we can organize a network. There is a Facebook group where we can organize a network. And then I want to invite you to check out the Freedom Cells website. It's a really great website. This great guy named Neil Rademacher put it together. And you can join the group. This is what it looks like when you join the group here, these extra menu items. Until then, it's just informational. Great place to go to learn about Freedom Cells. Lots of great videos as well. But once you join the group, you can actually create cells and find people in your area. So I want to show you exactly how big this movement has grown. Now, a lot of these groups haven't necessarily networked with one another, but there's 2,000 people in this group. And so we already have enough people to form a meta cadre. But check this out, guys. This isn't just some abstract idea. This is the real deal, where there are just under 2,000 people globally that have committed to organizing freedom cells in their area. So you can see all these people here all across the country. There's a bunch in California, some in Phoenix area, a bunch here in Texas. And so this is exciting, good stuff. We have someone saying, this is how you get yourself killed. And freedom cell equals domestic terror organization. I don't know if you're just coming on troll or anything, but we're all peaceful people and nobody is engaging in any sort of terrorism whatsoever. In fact, we would want to oppose terrorism or terrorist policies of local police, local government issues. Shelley says, I have trust issues, so this is difficult for me. That's understandable. One of the beautiful things about the Conscious Resistance Network, which Derek Brose puts together, is it's a lot about self-work, right? So there's so much internal conflict within ourselves, and whenever we coalesce with other individuals and our family, friends, office place, if we haven't done that internal work, then that internal strife and struggle is going to spill over onto our human relationships. So it's really important, for no matter what your purpose is, whether it's a freedom cell or getting along with your peers or your family, that we do that inner work. So Shelley, I would suggest starting off with just the closest people that are in your inner circle that you can confide in or trust. And if there's trust issues, perhaps things in the past, I don't know, I'm not a therapist, but there's a lot of trauma that we've all gone through. And oftentimes it spills over in all sorts of different areas of our life. A lot of people talk about trust too. One of the big objections that comes up is like this Freedom Cell website. We're working on getting it as encrypted as possible, right? And of course, the NSA can hack just about anything. Anyone can join this group. And I think the idea is we're not interested in doing illegal activity. I did allude earlier for people doing property tax protests and such. That could potentially be considered illegal, but this doesn't have to expand out to that. This is just if someone wants to get radical, if someone wants to resist, it doesn't have to be that. Let me go ahead and talk about what it can be. These are all going to be legal activities, not terrorist actions in any regard. So here's some goals. These are goals that we encourage people to do. These are goals that I'm working on with my group. And these are some simple goals that we could start with. So the first goal, so this is for your inner cadre group of around 8 people. And again, research shows that the number 8 people tends to be most creative, most effective. So we encourage people to have a group of 8. It could be 10, could be 7, 6, could be 12, whatever. This isn't a top-down hierarchical controlling thing. So if you are able to do it better with 14 people, or you don't want to split into 2 groups, that's fine by everyone that's participating. Again, this is like a ground-up horizontal organization network, right? So here we go. These are some simple common goals. 1, comms. Establish communication channels with your group. This can be a text message thread. This can be an email thread. But one of the channels that we really like is Telegram. It's encrypted. It's totally private. You can form a group with your inner cadre. You can form a group with your middle cadre. And you can leave voice messages, so on and so forth. You can get on the phone for regular phone calls. If it's eight people, you could do like a phone tree, right? So the first goal is communication. And that's so you can carry out all the other goals and so you can be in touch with one another. The second goal, which I think is extremely important, is food storage. Work together with your group to have 2 to 3 months worth of food storage. This is something I've been talking about for quite some time back when I thought the whole country was going to collapse in 2006. And sure enough, we did have a financial catastrophe shortly after, but it didn't result in this big impending collapse. But now we find ourselves in other tough times. We did see grocery store runs recently. So at first, during the pandemic, I encouraged my little group to have 2 weeks worth of food storage, but I upgraded that to 2 to 3 months. And I'm not at that place myself, but this is something you can work on. And here's how the group comes into play and how the group can help you to achieve these goals. So if it's just one person or one family working towards food storage, first, you have the internet and communities online, but you don't have all the ideas and all the information and all the wisdom. You can share information, share wisdom. But on top of that, the group can, maybe one of the people in the group of eight has an acre lot. The group can form a community garden there. The group can house a seed bank on one of the people's property. But also, there's a bunch of services that offer bulk food storage. And the more that you buy, you get a discount. So now all of a sudden, you have eight people in your Freedom Cell group that can contribute together and they can get bulk discount. We are going to start putting together resources and stuff where people can go and use those groups, people that are trusted, that have good, high quality stuff, that even potentially are part of the network. And then imagine you get your middle cadre group of around 100 people, 10 groups of 10. They all contribute and buy a whole lot of food and then distribute it out amongst themselves. So that's some goals. And again, there's a guy saying this is domestic terrorism and you're going to get yourself killed. It's like, we're not going to get ourselves killed for forming a Telegram group and for buying food storage. Okay. So thanks for all the great stuff. This is extremely important. I do think it's extremely important. Hey, there's John Van Dusen Edwards. Now, this is a guy that is really well-versed in building community. He was doing the Food is Free project where they would build gardens in their front yard and then just encourage the neighbors to come and pick the food. And in no time at all, other neighbors were building these raised bed gardens. And then they would all have an opportunity to conversate with one another. This is exactly the type of thing that we're talking about. You could even form Freedom Cell networks with your neighbors on the block. The eight guys that get together, maybe they have some beers. Maybe they know that one of them was a veteran. A couple of them are veterans, so they're a little more advanced in security and so on and so forth. And these are the guys that you're going to rely on should there be civil unrest. Doesn't have to be called a Freedom Cell. It can be the neighborhood watch group. It can be whatever it is. But I appreciate John Van Edwards. He's been inspirational on all sorts of stuff. So these are two goals. Again, not controversial, not crazy, not illegal. The third goal would be to make sure that your group of eight all has firearms and knows how to use them safely and proficiently. Now, oftentimes we get pushback on the, real quick, William Tell, I just can't help but notice that you are in a very pessimistic place. So you're complaining about mob rule and chop and Chaz. And it's like, you may not agree with the philosophy of the folks in Chaz, but they're out there asserting some sort of change with a group. You know, they did take over property and all sorts of stuff. A lot of it was public property. You do prefer Republic, not Dem mob rule. You consider the majority to be wrong in most cases. Well, now it's time to step out of the Republic, which is a giant group, and everyone needs to comply with the laws that get passed. And there's many harmful things that take away your freedom that are still constitutional if you're looking for a constitutional republic. Benjamin Franklin said it's a republic if you can keep it, but it was never a republic in the first place, because even since the forming of this government in 1789, there was an individual freedom. I invite you to look up the Whiskey Rebellion and the whiskey tax that was put in. But this isn't for everybody. It's for people that are optimistic and that really are concerned about the future. And that rather than complaining, rather than bashing on Chaz and Antifa, it's people that want to do something. Oh, there's another big mover and shaker, Joe Quirk, saying the floating freedom cell. That's right. Joe Quirk is the founder of the Seasteading movement and Seasteading Institute. And that's a great idea. Like, you can have freedom cell groups that work together. You form your group of eight. Then you encourage the creation of 10 groups of eight or 10 groups of 10. You have 100 people now. Everyone can start chipping in and slowly saving money or putting in some sort of investment fund. So 5 to 10 years down the road, they have the funds necessary to form a Seastead, which essentially is a nation or a platform or a giant cruise ship that's out in the ocean outside of political jurisdiction. And these are some other great innovative things that are taking place right now. So for all the Debbie Downers out there that are saying this can't possibly be done and Chaz and the socialists are controlling the world, there's a lot of innovative, free-thinking people that are not only have the ideas, but they're putting them into practice. So I encourage everyone to remain optimistic because life is too short to be all upset. I lived on two different communes. Dude, has me wrong. All right, William, I don't know you, but I just saw a little pessimism, and I guess it triggered me a little bit. I appreciate you tuning in and tell us all about the communes, because that's a lot of what this is about. It can be people in their own single family residence, or ideally what I want to do is create freedom cells where we have our own intentional community. We have our own big plot of land. Then we can form a sort of confederation of these different smaller 5-acre, 20-acre plots, and they all form a middle cadre, a meta cadre. Okay, so guns. This is a place where I get some pushback, but again, not everyone has to agree with my political philosophy, with my principles, with my goals. But the people that I want to form freedom cells with in our particular inner cadre, middle cadre, meta cadre, I would strongly encourage the ownership of firearms and learning to use those firearms safely and proficiently in defense of yourself, your home, and your community. So the way that a freedom cell group can benefit firearms ownership is you all get together and someone says, oh, well, Johnny's got a Glock 19. He's got a 9mm pistol. Well, I got a 9mm pistol as well. Oh, well, I don't have a 9mm, but it seems like half of our group already has one. So I'm going to acquire a 9mm pistol. And then just as we talk about with the food storage, we can all go in and buy bulk ammunition at a better rate. And so we distribute it out amongst ourselves. Also, ideally, let's say we have 100 people in our middle cadre and two of them are firearm instructors. Those two people can then go and instruct the entire group, right? It's a skill share. It's a supporting one another. Let's say that we have the 1,000 meta cadre group and there's a doctor within those ranks, a naturopath. Now you can go to that doctor whenever you have an ailment. You can get advice from that doctor and he can get business from the group and give them a discount or whatever, right? So the fourth goal that you can work on with your freedom cell group is a bug out plan. Bug out. Or y'all can talk about bugging in, because bugging out isn't always the best strategy. So a bug out plan is essentially if shit really hits the fan, things are really bad, there's like roving gangs and you don't have the firepower to stop them, you're in a single family neighborhood or an apartment or whatever, you have a predetermined bug out plan. Now your group of eight can all have the same bug out location. Okay, so if these particular criteria happen, maybe there's martial law or there's civil unrest or they're forcing vaccinations in our area and they're going door to door to make sure you have your vaccinations in line. That's what it's going to take for us to bug out. You can all work together and individually and like check in on one another, hold each other accountable to make sure you have your plans in place. Or the group of eight or even the group of 100 can all go to the same area. So let's say one person in the group of eight has a 100-acre ranch down in South Texas or out on the outskirts of town. Everyone comes up with this bug out plan. They all work together. And if the criteria are met to initiate the bug out, then everyone goes, they meet, they communicate through their channels, so on and so forth. So these are four goals. These don't have to be the goals. Again, establish communication. For those who are just joining us, these are goals that freedom cell groups can work towards. Establish communication channels. I prefer Telegram. It's encrypted. You can have groups. You can do voice recordings. Work together for 3 months worth of food storage. 3 months is a great amount that'll have you covered. You can also calculate how much food you as an individual or your family eats in a week and then use that in order to see how much food that you need. And again, the benefit of the freedom cell is that people can all pitch in and buy bulk food in order to work together. Third goal, get yourself some firearms and learn how to use them safely and proficiently in defense of your family and pew, 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 boom, 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 boom. In defense of yourself, your family, and your friends. And the fourth goal, establish a bug out plan make sure you hold each other accountable so everyone has a bug out plan. Doesn't have to be the same bug out plan. But ideally, you know, if somebody has land or whatever, y'all can all work together on that. So that's essentially Freedom Cell. Let me talk real quick about Texas. Again, if you're in the state of Texas, I want to encourage you to join our Facebook group. If you don't feel comfortable with the privacy level of Facebook, you can join the Telegram chat. Also, go to the Freedom Cells group, and you have to log in and register. Then you can find the Freedom Cell, Texas Freedom Cells network in there. There's also other groups in Dallas, Houston, Austin already. So network with these groups, do all your thing. But if you're in Texas, let me see if I can draw the great state of Texas here. This is pretty derpy, as my kids would say. But so check it out. Here's now that I look at it, this is bad, but whatever. This is Texas. Yeah, the stars at night are big and bright. Deep in the heart of Texas, there's a moon. Okay. So I'm in the city of Austin, and I would argue that Austin, more than any other area, has more per capita voluntarists, libertarians, outside-of-the-box thinkers than any other area. Somebody put me wrong. The great state of New Hampshire, Free State Project, has a lot going on. But there's already a bunch of people in the city of Austin here. We know that there's a bunch of people in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Derek Bros, who founded the Conscious Resistance Network, and I was the brains behind this Freedom Cell concept, but it really was Derek Bros that took it and popularized it and grew this Freedom Cell network to just under 2,000 people. We also have El Paso down here, Lubbock somewhere around here, San Antonio here. And so it's very plausible that we start forming up middle cadres. So we have 100 people here, we have 100 people here, we have 100 people here, we have 100 people here. And before you know it, we have 400 people working together on common goals. So this is what we're trying to accomplish with the Texas Freedom Cell Network. It's a great opportunity because it's such a big state and because there's so many people that are already involved, that are already networked. I'd like to more formalize a network. Eventually, this type of social organization, which isn't hierarchical, which isn't coercive, which is entirely based on voluntary cooperation and mutual benefit, eventually this social organization can start to take the place of services that the government provides. Let me give you an example. Let's say you have 1,000 people. This is this is all across Texas. This is what I call a meta cadre. And you guys want to start working together to create a health share. I actually have a health share myself. It's called Zion Health Share. And I contribute a small amount every month. And if there's to be some sort of emergency, then I would be covered over $1,000. I cover up to $1,000. Everything after that is covered. So this is mainly emergency medicine. I don't have a primary physician. I do have a naturopath that I see occasionally, but I don't need prescription medicine to be covered, whatnot, so on and so forth. This type of network, which oftentimes is religious, can be, this type of healthcare network can be created within the health share. We talked earlier, maybe within the 1,000 people, there's 5 doctors, right? So people go visit them, they get telemedicine from these doctors, they pay and support one another. But let's say every month, every single one of these 1,000 people contributes $100 to the health share. And so every month, this much goes into the health share. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4. Wow. That's $100,000. Somebody correct me if the math is wrong. 1,000 times 100. I'm pretty sure you just add all the zeros, right? So every month in your health share, there's $1,000 that's there. Now you all come up with contracts. Maybe this can be stored in the blockchain. This can also be, you know, this whole concept can be coupled with blockchain technology where those contributions are sent to through via Bitcoin or whatever coin. And that money is locked in a smart contract, and that smart contract cannot be unlocked unless the Freedom Cell groups have a vote or whatever. And so there's like, you know, we cover emergency. We don't cover like, I don't know, plastic surgery. No, or whatever. And so somebody in the group, their son breaks his leg. Rather than going through all the BS, Obamacare, so on and so forth, it's determined it's going to cost $15,000. Well, that $15,000 comes out of here. And the next month, you know, another $100,000 is replenished. Pretty soon you have a big kitty. This money can be invested in some sort of stocks or some sort of investment that's gaining money, whatever. This is just one example of government services that are now being provided, private companies that are providing, that are in bed with the government, making it not a good service. And this is how this network can replace that. Of course, it can replace government when it comes to security. What the? Security. So rather than going to the police, you call your Liberty Bell network. We used to have this set up in Austin, the Lone Star Liberty Bell, and it was simply essentially a phone number. You call, leave a voicemail. There's apps like Cell 411, which is an app you can download. I think it's getcell411.com. You guys gotta love my handwriting. I know you love it. Getcell411.com. It's an app that uses your geographic location. You can send out alerts if you're getting pulled over. It has a little camera function that records and uploads to a server. And so let's say you have your group of 1,000, and it's known that 200 of those group members are trained in self-defense, are trained in conflict de-escalation, are trained in nonviolent communication. They have firearms, right? So you start looking after one another when there's a break. And this is what everyone's saying about the defund. Like, I'm not saying we should defund the police. I think we should dismantle the police altogether. And people are like, what are you going to replace it with? What's going to happen when someone comes, a drug addict comes and robs your house? And it's like, well, we'll rely on our Freedom Cell network. So I hope, you know, there's small goals that we can work on with your own little group. And it's always good to have mutual aid and support. But I want people to realize the potential that building out a social organization such as this has to effectively replace the state as a means of social organization. Everyone is always like, well, what would anarchy look like? What's it going to be like? Honestly, I don't know. We don't know. But through such a network, we can begin to experiment. And then when people are like, what happens when you defund the police? What are you going to do when you want to call 911 and there's not a police officer? We can answer and say, well, you know, actually for the past year and a half, we have been relying on our own security community defense network. There's been a number of occasions where they've been called and they responded effectively, peacefully, or potentially they had to use force in order to dispel some sort of attack. But a great way of education isn't just telling people about things, it's showing them how it works. And it's through networks such as these that we can effectively prove out the concept of freedom. And as I said before, it doesn't have to be illegal, doesn't have to be controversial. This can all just be simple stuff that people are doing and engaging in. So if you're in the great state of Texas, I strongly encourage you to join those groups. If you're not in the state of Texas, sorry, I just read this. Number five, grow some dank ass herb. Yep. Number five is the herb guy you go to for the medicinal and recreational stuff. If you're not in the state of Texas, go to freedomcells.org and you can join that group. You can join up and find other people in your area as well. All right, let's go through and try to see if we can go to some comments here and have a little conversation. And then we're going to let you go. We've been going for 32 minutes. That's a nice time. Daniel McCarthy says activation email is not arriving. Daniel, that is a common problem. Check your spam folder. So when you go to freedomcells.org and you register, it's most likely that that went to your spam folder. So we tried to mitigate that by whenever you register on freedomcells.org, there's a little thing that you have to check off. It's a little fine print. Maybe we should make it bigger and bolder, but it says be sure to check your spam folder for the activation email. So I encourage you to do that. 10 kilograms of potatoes I planted in public space. Is that a boy, Silver Daddy? Daddy Silver. Grow that food. Get it out there. I'm not for a free-for-all. Individual hard work is vital for personal self-work. As such, reducing victimhood. Is this a leftist channel? I'm not sure why you consider what I've been talking about leftist in some regard. I do recognize that a lot of people are just caught in that left-right dichotomy. It used to be Democrats and Republicans left-right dichotomy. Now people are getting a little extreme because they're fed up with the status quo, which is a good thing. But now it's like far-right, leftist, left-wing. So no, there's nothing about victimhood or free riders. And the cool thing is, too, if you have like a free rider in the network, so let's say we have a group of 100 and it's 10 groups of 10 and everybody contributes for this health share. And it turns out that there's two people in this one group of 10, which is a tenth of the whole group of 100. There's two people that aren't contributing. Well, what you do is you have 10 groups of 10. So you got this group, 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 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and then 10. Okay, so you got these groups of 10. They're all contributing. They're all working. Maybe they're all putting money in to invest in the property that they're all going to buy together. And it turns out that there's two people within this group that aren't contributing. Red, red, right? So these groups, they all recognize, okay, there's someone within this group that's not contributing. All right, so let's communicate with this group and let's let them know that if those two people aren't made to contribute or they can't participate, then we are effectively going to take them out of our middle cadre. See, this is how we can utilize, this is what governing is about, right? I don't like the term government, actually, because it means to rule over. To govern is to rule over. But effectively how this can work is, let's say, let's say we have a group of 10, a group of 10, a group of 10, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And these are all 10 people in each one, 10. Check it out. This is how we can have a decision-making council, a leadership council, right? It's not hierarchical. It's not coercive. Nobody's being forced into anything. Everyone participating can opt out. An entire group can opt out. An individual can opt out. These are all 10 groups of 10. Each group of 10 delegates, appoints a representative. And these representatives all form the council for this middle cadre. Whenever there's conflict, whenever there's a problem, these groups reach a consensus. So let's say it's like, let's say there's a declaration. Somebody's like, hey, I got this great idea. We already have 100 people in this one geographic area with a very small county government. We're out in the middle of nowhere in Texas. And it's like, I have a great idea. How about we sign a Declaration of Independence? We list a long train of abuses and usurpations, and we want to sign a Declaration of Independence. So one of the groups drafts it up, this little group of 10, you know, they're writing it right here. Whatever. I need to work on this. They write it out, and now we have a Declaration of Independence here. And so this group of 10, they're like, all right, we all agree. Check. We all agree that we agree with this. And then they send their delegate. They say, yes, check. The other groups of 10, this can be decision-making on anything whatsoever. This came into mind because the person's talking about a free rider, right? So this group of 10 says, all right, we have consensus. So let's tell our delegate that we are in. This group of 10 has consensus. Oh, all right, we're in. This group of 10 has consensus. We're in. This group, this group, this group. But these two groups are like, you know what? I don't like that language, actually. We're out. They tell their delegate. They tell their delegate. And effectively, it's this group of 10 here that's talking, coordinating, so on and so forth, and they're just going back to get direction and insight from their group of 10. So, I mean, whatever. This is all experimental stuff, but this is a way that decision-making can take place, and this could actually happen. You know, fast forward it to you have your middle cadres. You have 10 middle cadres. These are all groups of 100. So you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. They all have their council of 10, right? This group of 100 has 10 groups. Each of the 10 groups sends a representative to the council of 10. Each of these 10 groups sends a representative out of that 10. And now you have 10 people that represent the group of 1,000. Now, eventually, when I talk about asserting our sovereignty, when you have 1,000 people, I like the number 10,000. I think 10,000 is a good, safe amount of people where we could really start asserting some power in the political sphere, right? These people could also vote, too, if that's your thing. Like, we're all going to vote for this candidate, or maybe one of these people's running as a candidate. But I prefer the concept of an ambassador. So we have this group of 10,000 people. Let's say it's reached 10,000 in the state of Texas. And this group has a group of 10 people, and that group of 10 appoints one guy that's the ambassador that represents this entire body of 10,000 people. And this person goes and starts having meetings with government officials at the Capitol building. It's kind of what the Capitol looks like in Texas. And he says, I represent a delegation of 10,000 people who are fed up with the way this government is infringing on their freedoms. Many of us have operated through the political channels for quite some time, but it's clear that this institution is operating exactly as it was intended to operate, whereby it serves and benefits the small privileged minority, those in power, and those businesses that it benefits and the businesses that bankroll the politicians. It doesn't serve us. We no longer have faith that this institution and these political channels are going to be able to redress our grievances. Therefore, we are taking a different approach. I came to sit down and have this meeting with you to inform you that if A, B, C, and D is not changed, our group of the 10,000 intends to declare independence from the state of Texas. Whatever. I don't know what that looks like. Who knows? These are all just thought experiments. But the point is, when you have a social organization with 10,000 people, all dedicated, all communicating effectively with one another, you can use Telegram to have your council of 10 when there's 100 people. You can use Telegram to have a council of 10 when there's 1,000 people. You can communicate. You can send information back and forth. You can use consensus-based voting in order to make decisions on what we want to expend our money on. Maybe this Freedom Cell joins with the express purpose of buying land. We are going to form a single-purpose Freedom Cell with the goal of bringing together 100 people to buy a plot of land. And you have these groups of 10. Maybe it's 10 families. They each send a representative. You have a council of 100, and you each group of 10 votes using consensus if they want to approve the acquisition of this land, if they like the terms of the loan, and you have to have a consensus process. So there's nothing free rider about this. And in fact, there's mechanisms built into the network infrastructure itself that can overcome the free rider problem that we most definitely have with government. So Shelley, I hope that answers your question. Shelley, the cottage farm bear. We already do this where we live cooperatively. That's great to hear, William. I would encourage you, if you would call it whatever you want, but link up with other groups in your area, and together, collectively, you have more strength. I shared a link on the forum about taking over vacant land, Society of the Spectacle. Okay, on the Freedom Cell forum, that's a touchy subject as far as the homestead principle when someone's not owning the land. Chances are, even though it's vacant, it's owned by private property. And again, these groups don't all have to agree with one another 100%, although private property is a pretty big issue. I'm a private property proponent, although it would be nice for there to be commons, but we're not going to debate on that one right now. All right. The Seastead challenges maritime sovereignty. That's why Thailand closed it down. Yeah, there was a seastead that was built way outside on the shore of Thailand, and the Thailand government was so offended by this, they tried to charge the individuals that built the seastead with a crime that they were like impeding on Thailand's sovereignty, and it was a crime that carried the punishment of death. So we got a long way to go, but people are doing it. We're figuring out the problems and all that stuff. We call it permaculture and cooperatives. That's right. I really appreciate that. Titus Frost says, in honor of the Chaz and the fantastic job they are doing as an example, we should call these Freedom Cells Incredible 8 Cells. You know, I should do a video on Chaz because I don't appreciate the philosophy of and what they're calling for, like these changes and reforms. I appreciate a lot of the stuff about police accountability, but I'm not really into socialized medicine and socialized all sorts of stuff, not in socialism. But the strategy that they took place, that they carried out, they occupied all these streets. Some of the businesses are still open. Occupying a community park, for example, I would believe it to be unethical and wrong if they were to take over someone's private residence, someone's private business. But if we can look past that, and no, I'm not giving anyone a pass for taking someone's private property by force when they don't have a right to it or whatever. But this strategy of creating an autonomous zone, I would prefer to do it where we all collectively acquire property or we all move into a small town and we start to engage the political channels there, or whatever. But this idea of bringing together like-minded individuals and creating a community, creating autonomy, is way more effective at accomplishing your goals than voting. All right. Barbara Brown thinks it's a great idea. I really appreciate that. So Soros is steering the idea of freedom cells to demonize it in the eyes of the right. Everyone always thinks that Soros is like some all-powerful guy that has his fingers in everything. And it's like, I tripped and fell and skinned my knee yesterday. It must have been a Soros conspiracy. I challenge you to actually find sources and proof that Soros is funding all these Antifa kids and stuff. I've been able to locate, with immense research, one instance of Soros funding a organization and a group called End Fascism Now or something like that. It's like a website mainly. They were using the group that Soros donated to as a fiscal sponsor. I haven't found any sources of individual activists getting money and so on and so forth, but whatever. So what if Soros has all this power? Who cares? Let's just do our own thing and build our own institution. Not trying to be pessimistic, but people are complicated and just all of a sudden coming together with a group of people you don't know and who don't know you. Love the idea of freedom cells, though. I hear you, Shelley. That's why it's important to start small and just start with a group of people that you do know or a group of family members or whatever it may be. And then the way that it works is like you trust your group of 10. Okay, so you trust your group of 10. And maybe you trust one person that's in the other group of 10. But, you know, another way that it could work, check this out. So you're like, hey, we live in this random town in Massachusetts. First, I'd say get the hell out of there because the state is hellhole. But let's say you live there and you're like, I'm friends with these 8 people. They're all on different parts of town. And so you got this guy, you got this guy here, you got this guy here, you got this guy here. Let's just say it's 5 people. This is you, Shelley. You're friends with these 5 people. It's chances are these 5 people know 8 people that they trust and that are of like mind. So it's like we form this initial council and it's like an exploratory freedom cell group for your area. And the goal of that group is to form 5 other groups. And so before you know it, right, before you know it, each one of these people, maybe it's not even, it doesn't even have to be 8. Maybe you don't have that number in your area. Maybe you're not a social butterfly. That's okay. So all those 5 people go out and they find 4, 6, 8 people. Now you have, I don't know, we'll just say we have 40 people here. It's not 40, but whatever. That's how it starts. It can start small. It never has to grow into some big meta thing. Even if you have 15 people, 20 people that are all united for common goals, mutual aid, supporting one another, that's still better than not having this network, this infrastructure. Now, you mentioned having trust issues. This type of network can be utilized for all sorts of different things. It can be utilized for spiritual development. You know, let's say you're like, you know, I'm not into all that radical stuff. I'm all about improving myself and spreading love and doing yoga and stuff. So you form your group of 8. And instead of having goals that, like, my goals are kind of survivalist and preparing for civil unrest type of deal, right? Your goals are, okay, we're all going to meet 3 times a week and do yoga together. And every month we're going to read a book about spirituality, mindfulness, self-improvement, and do a book club. We are going to form a Telegram group, a tele group, which is the purpose of sharing feelings and emotions and supporting one another. And finally, we're going to be accountability partners. We're going to make a list of our what we believe to be flaws. You know, maybe someone has a drinking problem, maybe someone has an anger issue, so on and so forth. And so this freedom cell is all about enlightenment. Enlightenment. It's not a freedom cell about asserting sovereignty or some grand goals to opt out of the technocratic state. It's a group of 8 people that has the goal of supporting one another in their spiritual growth. Maybe on the other side, it's like you have 8 families, 8 single moms. How about that? 8 8 single parents. We won't discriminate against us dads out there. 8 single parents. You guys form a freedom cell. You don't call it a freedom cell. You call it the parenting love group, whatever. And the goal is we're going to do 1 play date a week. You know, we're not all ambitious wanting to opt out of the state, but we do not want to take our kids to public school anymore. Little Timmy's getting bullied. The teachers are teaching all sorts of crazy stuff that we just don't agree with. So we're going to have 1 play date. We're going to have 3 homeschool co-op days. And maybe some of these single parents want to go out and have a social life and meet other people. They want to form a relationship or whatever. We are going to have a babysitting club where we take turns babysitting one another's children, whatever. So again, the idea is it doesn't have to be crazy anarchy stuff like me and Derek Bros are wanting to do. It doesn't have to be all hardcore like Derek Bros when he got arrested for like stopping the police from harassing someone. It can be whatever the hell you want it to be. The point is, small groups are an effective means of achieving common goals. The point is, let's experiment with radically different forms of social organization so we can demonstrate to the world that there's a better way to live amongst our fellow human beings than relying on coercive, oppressive, hierarchical, violent governments. That's what it's all about. All right, we're going to wrap this up probably within the next 10 minutes. So Titus, Chaz stole land. They didn't work for it. They are immature little brats. Well, okay, so let's think for a sec. Let's say, okay, if there's a business that's getting shut off to outside access, but a lot of the Fox News reports about armed guards not letting people in, those aren't even true. I've seen videos from people that I'm friends with on Facebook that just waltz right in and took video and chatted with people. So I just think everybody's got this program that they're playing out where they have been programmed to be so opposed to the other. And another part of the program that I believe is taking place is it used to be the left-right. I've been hip to the left-right paradigm since like 2000, actually maybe since 2006. I started opposing the wars because I found out about 9/11 truth in 2002. And so I opposed George Bush and I thought I was a Democrat because Nancy Pelosi back then and John Kerry, who ran for office in 2006 or 2004, he was like, we're going to end the war and I'm an Iraq veteran, you know, all this kind of stuff. He's a Vietnam veteran. He was a swift boat guy and he threw his medals over. And so I thought I was a Democrat. But then when I realized in 2006, when Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats took over the House and the Senate with promises of ending the war, I realized like, oh, there's something going on here. A couple years later, I learned about Ron Paul and libertarianism. For a brief period, I still thought I was a Republican because the whole strategy was to reform the Republican Party. But either way, a lot of times the left-right paradigm is focused on Democrats versus Republicans. Well, now that people are being radicalized and pushed out on the right through the Tea Party, through Trump, who's a little more extreme, through Boogaloo, through militia, through all these radio personalities, and on the left through this Antifa phenomenon and the progressives that are leaning more and more socialist, there's this tension between the extremes. And unlike your typical party voters, it's the extremes that are willing to maybe engage in some violence or fight one another. So in my opinion, the last thing that we want are these extreme groups fighting one another when the real enemy is those that are in positions of coercion and control and power, right? I do think that there's a little bit of a communist conspiracy taking place, but there's also like this extreme right nationalist conspiracy taking place. Really, the ultimate answer, again, is the small groups and zones of autonomy. So if these Chaz Antifa type communists want to do their thing in this little area over here on this huge, on the way other side of where you live, then let them do it. If you want to do stuff with your friends over here and have militia groups and grow food and ride horses or whatever the F and fly the Confederate flag, then by all means, do it. And if we can start to change the perspective of having to control this massive institution and enforcing our views and beliefs upon everyone within it to why don't we decentralize, take authority away from such a top-down organization so we can all experiment with our own forms of social organization that are more in line with our principles, our priorities, and our politics. That's what the message ought to be. Decentralized, localized. No top-down, one-size-fits-all. That's obviously not what's working. And when we take that proactive posturing whereby we're not opposed, we're not against, we're not reactive to what these guys are doing over here. Rather, we are building, creating, and organizing and showing that our way is a beautiful way of doing things. It's not a reactive paradigm where you can be manipulated and played like a pawn to the George Soroses and the David Rockefellers of the world. Well, Rockefeller passed away, but Rockefeller Foundation is still around. It's a proactive, it's a building, it's criticizing through creation. And that's what it's all about. All right. Get overrun with vermins like rabbits. Eat all their crops and food. Everybody starves. There's ways around that. Shoot the rabbit with a 22 and eat it as food, and then you're not even starving. My firearms are for protection from cougars and bears, not humans. 9mm are useless. Well, that's cool too, you know, but there's civil unrest. There's lots of crazy stuff. If you don't want to kill people, if they're hurting you or harming you, then that's fine. But nonviolence is the answer, is it not? You know, Satyagraha, which is Gandhi's practice of spiritual nonviolent resistance, I think is optimal and ideal. But it's not, we still have that instinct for self-preservation as living life forms, right? As living animals. And I think it's important to not give that away. There's bad actors in the world, there's bad government actors, and we ought to preserve our lives so we can continue on, raise families, continue our progeny. I don't know. But again, it's like, I don't know everything. So I would never want to use violent force or use a firearm against someone. That would be the last thing that I would want to do. But I certainly wouldn't want to get jumped by a mob of crazy people that are wanting to hurt me and take my property. All land is stolen. Well, eventually it was stolen. Originally it was stolen from Native Americans. So I see people having a conversation here. There's lots of comments. I mean, we are already not overwhelmed by an occupying army, the police. Shouldn't we all bug out and start chazzing our own towns? I'm hip to that. Yeah, I just don't think we should take people's property or hurt people in the process. I think that we should. That's why I'm a big fan of entrepreneurship. I'm hustling away. You can see Brave Botanicals, high quality kratom, activism, health news, self-growth, mybravebotanicals.com. Surely Facebook isn't going to ban me just for having a freaking banner on the wall, but I'm on an entrepreneurial adventure to make as much money as I possibly can so I can come together and invest in a big piece of property, hopefully within the next 2 to 3 years on the outskirts of Central Texas, probably east, and we can form our own autonomous zone and link up and form a confederation with other people that are doing the same thing. You better stock up on firearms ASAP. They will be outlawed soon. I don't think firearms are going to be outlawed in places like Texas. That's why I always say the great state of Texas. I mean, it is a state as hellhole, but relative to other places, I don't think anybody's taking any guns from anybody. All right, everybody. I appreciate everyone joining in. I appreciate insurance scam, whatever. Then don't do it. It's okay. But we're looking for alternatives here. Appreciate everyone participating. I appreciate it having a conversation. And this is John Bush with Live Free Now. I invite you to check out those links there. We got freedomcells.org for anyone. You go, you register, make sure you check your spam folder because you have to activate your account. Once there, you can form a Freedom Cell group. You can check the Freedom Cell map. I encourage you not to use your exact address. Use an area close to you so people can see where you are. You can message people so you can see like, oh, I logged in. I see that there's 5 other people in the Oklahoma City area. In fact, there's already an Oklahoma City Freedom Cell group on the back end of this social network on freedomcells.org. Let me private message them, join their group. Hey, my name's so-and-so, blah, 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 right? Of course, vet people. Don't let anyone talk you into doing Molotov cocktails or property destruction or whatever. You don't have to join the group in order to create a Freedom Cell in your area. Go get together with 8 to 10 people of like mind and start working on common goals. However, I invite you to join with other groups of 8 to 10, and it's important to have some sort of mechanism for us to organize and coalesce with one another, set up Telegram, so on and so forth. If you're in the state of Texas, please join the Facebook group. Yes, it's Facebook. Mark Zuckerberg's a punk. We're not going to talk about anything illegal on there. We're not going to talk about overthrowing this or that. It's just a group where we can coalesce, we can organize, we can encourage the creation, we can link up, we can form up. If you do Want to be a little more radical? Join the Telegram group. It's encrypted. It's private. Yes, anyone can join. I'm not vetting anyone, so be careful what you say. Don't get talked to anything. I will ban or block someone if they're talking shit, if they're obviously a troll, or if they're encouraging violence or property destruction or whatever. So join up. Let's do it. Let's make it happen. Peace and freedom. Barbara, if there's no like-minded people around you, I know this may not be easy, but consider moving somewhere. We would welcome you here in Central Texas. And unless you live in a super duper duper small town, there may be like-minded people around you. And these ideas are so resonant, non-aggression, self-improvement, self-ownership, that you may just start talking to people and find that, oh, wow, there's people that you never thought of would have believed in some of these ideas. And not everyone has to be like all hardcore anarchist, voluntarist or whatever. You can find common ground if you like to sew, if you like gardening, if you are a homeschool parent or whatever. All right. Thanks, everyone. John Bush, I'm out. Peace and freedom. Join the groups. Thanks for tuning in. Share this video with your friends. Freedom. Strength in numbers. Strength in unity. Strength in truth. We got all three on our side. Let's stand up, work together, and it'll never stop us. Peace. I'm out. Bye.